everybody. It's MJ. Thank you so very much for the honor and pleasure of having you on the line today. This is our free call-in day, and we're going to get into just any and all questions that you have about your deals, valuation, marketing, anything that you need some help on. I'll see if I can't do my very best to give you some guidance, some leeway. But main focus, of course, is going to be valuation. How do you make sure you get those deals at the right price with the right number so you can make your profit when you buy, man? Valuation is the key to any deal and really being successful. So I'm excited that this is an opportunity to share with you. No matter where you are in your business, if you've been at it for a while, if you're just getting started, look, it doesn't make a difference if you've done 1,000 deals. If you do the very next one, you don't take the time to figure out the numbers on that puppy, it's over. So listen, the way this works is, again, I've got a little dashboard here. I can see everybody. If you will press 5-star, what that'll do is it'll raise your hand. I can see, and then I'll unmute you, and I'll call out your area code and first part of your phone number and get to your question. The beautiful part about this thing I love more than anything else is this concept of mastermind. We're all in a situation where everybody can learn from everybody else that's on the line. I mean, you know, there are no dumb questions, whatever the case may be. Everybody gets the benefit, and I think that part's really, really, really cool. So let me get into my diatribe for a couple of minutes. I want to tell you, it's we talk about economic life cycles. So here goes the little class for just a minute, so bear with. Economic life cycles, it goes through four that I think is the case, and it's prosperity. It's expansion, prosperity, contraction, and then recession. So write those down. Expansion, prosperity, contraction, and recession. Now, everybody and their grandma knows which one we're in right now. Of course, that's recession. And the thing about it, you know, I don't care. I mean, I've been doing real estate from an appraisal perspective since 1999, and then in my own deal since 2001. I bought my first deal. Actually, I bought my first deal in December of 2000. Excuse me. Took the proceeds and bought my wife a Mercedes. Not a Mercedes, a BMW. But it was a little car too. It was only a 3 Series. It wasn't like I bought a bigger. It was a little car, and it was just a down payment. I don't want to make it seem like I bought the whole car. I was just starting out, so I think I had about $8,000 or $9,000 to put a down payment on a car. Went and bought her a nice little BMW. But this is the deal. It was good to be in real estate then. It's been good to be in real estate the whole time since then. It is especially to be good in it for like the last 18, 24 months because prices have been so low. The volume of inventory out there from REOs and foreclosures has just been phenomenal. There's no getting around it. It has been just a cherry trove of deals to pick from, you know. So when we think about when do you really, 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 really want to be in the game, that's right now, recession. You don't want to get in when it's going through expansion because that's when prices are going to be going up, and that's when everybody that bought during a recession is going to be selling to you. And that includes me, thank you very much. So without a doubt, look at your deals, but still analyze them very carefully because you can get okey-doked. I mean, even right now, if without the right comparable data in place to actually analyze and see the REO sales are taking place, the short sales are taking place, which you cannot garner just from looking at the MLS. You're just not going to be able to do that. You got to be able to look at good data. And ICO, that's where we provide that information to you. And then these calls, and then I've got something really cool. I'm going to be putting up a video blog with just tip after tip after tip after tip that you can go to and access anytime. And it's a blog. There's no cost. There's no membership fee or nothing. I'll be talking everything from condos to land to hardy plank to masonry, the materials you put inside the house, different markets across the country. I'm just going to put out everything, all the content that I've ever used to evaluate and make profit on deals. I'm just going to put it in video format so it's accessible and can be seen anytime. So I'm looking forward to getting that launch. It probably won't be more than about a week. It'll be out there, and I'll make sure you get all the information on it as well. But One thing I wanted to share with you is this concept. After we talk about, well, I've kind of shared this concept of, you know, getting in when, you know, through the life cycles and recession, and this is really a good time. But I do want you to be aware of what buyers are doing in the market area. And buyers, especially retail buyers, and there's a lot of them out there, basically have been in a situation like this where they have been either saving their money or just waiting for the right time to buy. This, yeah, everybody was looking at houses and in probably 05 and 06, looking to move up because the financing was really good. And then just when they were about to buy, maybe they were just on the lower end of credit score, 680, you know, 690, something like that. The financing for them to be able to buy probably just kind of went away. So here's a situation where they wanted to buy, but now the price of the house was maybe higher than what they could afford, or there just wasn't financing. And they buy the time either renting or doing a lease option. And most recently, in the last 13 months, you've seen, especially since, well, not 13 months, probably in the last 7 months when the first-time homebuyer credit came out for $8,000, there have been people in so many markets across the country. I don't care if it's Seattle, Washington, D.C., Austin, Texas, Dallas. My son is out in Oklahoma. All kinds of folks have taken advantage of this $8,000 tax credit. They've done it, gotten a home that is more than likely devalued from where it was 24 months ago. Everybody knows that. So they've actually, to some degree, what? They're buying in recession, right? Even though they're not investing, they're the people that we want to sell to, those retail buyers, to get our property sold if we rehab, or if we're going to be selling it to a rehab or wholesaler. They're the individuals that in the end game are going to be getting a very, very good piece of property, a very good price, okay? So be aware that those buyers are out there, and as you analyze your deals, okay, look at the dynamic. Look at the sweet spot. My partner, Sam Bell, well, I love this phrase he came up with. He calls it hotel. It's not wholesale. It's not retail. It's hotel. It's that sweet spot in the middle where if you structure your deal the right way, looking at your acquisition price, really analyzing the ARV, you can hit a home run every time that you do a deal. You just, again, it's all about the value. You got to make your profit when you buy, when you get in. So, listen, we've got plenty of time. Going to go for about an hour here. Got a number of folks on the line. Please, please, please do not be bashful. The way this works, again, on these free call days, that's another thing. We're going to do these every week now. Well, let me be honest. We're going to do them the first 3 weeks of every month. So we're going to do them one next Monday. We're going to do a Monday after that. Then I'll take the last Monday off. But every week we're going to be doing these. So whatever you've got on your mind, whatever deal you're analyzing, send me an email ahead of time. I mean, we'll take a look at whatever comps you've got, whatever the case may be, and we can discuss it online. And, again, this is for everybody to benefit and learn from. It's not just where it's a one-on-one. We all get to learn. I get to learn from you. All the tickets that we get on our support desk from people pulling comps that are members of Investor Comps Online using the support desk and saying, hey, listen, I can't figure out the value on this. We look at it on the support desk and respond back to you. I grow because you grow. I mean, I just happen to have background as appraiser, and I actually love valuation, and that's what made me successful as an investor. This is just my opportunity to share it with you. I am nobody special. The Father created me out of dust just like he did you guys. So with that being said, all you have to do is on your phone, cell phone, wherever you are, is press 5-star, and that will raise your hand, and I can take your questions. Now, listen, the value of this call is in the questions. It's not in me going on and on talking. So I've got one hand raised, and I'd like to see plenty, plenty more. So, and there are no wrong questions, so please, please, please don't hesitate to ask. And let me know what market you're in. Please state your name, what market you're in, because that helps me be able to serve other people as well, because we do have clients in so many different places. So that being said, we're ready to go. I'm going to take the first question. Again, 5-star to raise your hand, and I'll be able to see it. So let's go. I'm going to unmute here. This is someone, area code 619.
San Diego.
Oh, boy.
It's Ray.
Hold on. I lost it. Hold on.
This is Ray.
9672. Who's on the line?
This is Ray.
Ray?
Harmonica Man, the old X-ray.
What's going on, big guy? You've been hanging out with Zach, huh?
Yeah, we're in the middle of an emergency trip up to Oregon. I'm in Redland right now, Reading, pardon me.
Okay.
And so we're, I'm trying to cover this on a cell phone.
Please tell Sharon I said hey.
Pardon me?
Please tell the lovely bride I said hello.
Oh, Mark said hi, Mark, to you, Sharon.
Hi, Mark.
Okay. Yeah, her mother fell down and broke her hip, and she's not doing very good, and so we're on our way up there for a week probably. And then another thing happened. Remember, she had her house up for a loan modification.
Right.
That looks like it's coming in this week.
Outstanding.
Sometime.
Outstanding. Congratulations.
And, looks like they've knocked off $100,000 and dropped the interest rate to 2.5, and so we're probably going to be moving. So
oh,
in the
that
next
is
3 months.
Phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Congratulations to you.
And then I put my condo up for sale, and I got a buyer that wants to buy it from me, giving me $3,000 cash, and then just take over the payments, or assuming what I have.
Right.
And I'm not sure how that's going to work. Do I need to go through a title company to have his payment go directly through them to the bank so that we guarantee it's done, or how do I do that?
No, that is an excellent question. And again, congratulations on the loan mod, Ray. That's exciting because now
yeah.
Let me just ask one question about that. Did you communicate with the bank yourself, or did you have a firm do it, like an attorney's firm or something like
it
that?
It was a company that did it.
Outstanding. Now let me just share with that. And again, everybody, loan mods work both ways, and some firms and some banks will accept you doing a loan mod on investment property. So if you've got investment property out there that's not owner occupied, you can still go and try to get with some lending institutions a loan modification. But definitely on any type of primary residence, if you've seen a decrease in market value, that type of thing, or where you are, you can go, and I would always recommend actually engaging a firm. Just communicate with your bank yourself. It really isn't going to get anywhere. And the other thing about loan mods is this, is no bank and no entity will really work with you if, in fact, your payments are on time and you're not showing some type of indication of struggle. Typically what's going to happen is you're going to have to skip a payment or not make a payment to get the process going. And the only reason it's that way is because the laws and everything related to how basically the accounting laws in our country, the way they're set up, are only, you know, they're designed to benefit the bank, but only in the event that something goes sour. So it is what it is. I'm not in a position where I can say what the law should or should not be, but that's what you're going to experience, and it could be a tremendous windfall. What will happen is, and Ray, you could confirm or just let me know any of these circumstances, but I'd imagine there's been an opportunity, a window of opportunity. Yes, you did have to pay the firm to do it, but how many months has it been since you actually made payments on the property in Oregon? Has it been a few?
We quit making payments on it a year and 6 months ago.
Yes, so see, guys, it takes some effort to communicate with the bank to, you know, to actually get them to acquiesce and behave, but you make a tremendous windfall while you're not making payments, you haven't lost the property, it's in modification. Now, the other thing that happens in the end of this, and Ray, you should see this as the case, the bank will actually show the loan that was on the property. They'll show that paid in full. They'll take off all the 30-day lates on it, and you'll actually get a new loan number. You'll have the new principal balance. And what did you say the rate was going to be, Ray?
2.5%.
2.5%. And it'll be fixed,
yes.
Will it not, or will they try to make it adjustable?
Now, we have not got the final papers yet, so I'm not certain on everything. He just said that they were going to knock off near $100,000 from the principal and lower the interest rate to 2.5%, but we haven't got the paperwork on it yet. That was the verbal from the loan mod guy.
Yeah. Well, typically what would happen is
instead
it should wind up being a fixed loan.
Great.
Thank you very much for mentioning it. I wanted to bring that up. I wanted to go into that because you brought it up so that everybody could kind of get a bigger picture, a window of opportunity. And, I mean, realize you're talking thousands of dollars that Ray and Sharon have saved to be able to put in other activities where literally, if they just continued to pay the mortgage or maybe just try to communicate with the bank themselves, they probably wouldn't have gotten anywhere other than, say, today they couldn't make the payments anymore or hold on to the house, and then the bank would have just taken it back, which is just a win for the bank and not a win for them. So congratulations, guys. I'm really excited for you. That is absolutely outstanding. Now, let's
loan my
project on the condo. This person's basically saying they'll take over the payments and the property. Are they planning on living in it, or are they basically going to try to market it themselves?
They're going to hold it, I believe, and it's already rented, so
okay.
They'll be landlording it at least for a while.
So, now, did you already put somebody in it, or did they put somebody in it?
The person that's in there is a person that I've had for 2 or 3 years.
Okay, all right. So now I got to ask the question. Why would you not just continue to manage the property yourself? Just let me ask that question.
Well, first of all, the lady's on hospice, and she doesn't have long to live.
Okay.
Secondarily, the property value has dropped so much that I would never get the value back out of it on a new loan, a new renter. Consequently, I would be upside down.
Okay. All right. Well, now, I'll answer that both ways, right? I got to mute somebody. Is that just you in the highway, Ray? Maybe I need to mute somebody.
I'm sorry.
Huh?
I didn't hear you. What?
Okay. That's all it was. I just need to mute somebody. And everybody, this is actually outstanding information. Remember, if you want to ask a question, and I think I've got a couple more folks with their hand raised, just press 5-star to raise your hand, and I will get to. We got two more folks. Somebody from South Carolina is our next person I'm going to get to. Area code 843. Press 5-star, raise your hand, and we'll get to your question. Ray, you're talking about actually doing what would be considered a subject to deal. Okay.
That's correct.
Subject to deals make sense when there's an equity position in terms of the market value of the property versus the principal balance of the loan. And if you've got just, you know, even numbers, if the house is worth $150,000, let's say the principal balance on the loan is about $125,000, you can see there's an equity position there. You can garner a piece of property without having to put up your own credit. You've got an existing loan in place. The person's going to sign it over to you because they're a motivated seller, they're in transition. Then that's a good reason to do it. Now, the person that comes to you and says, I want to take over a piece of
property. I'm on a conference call. That's why I wasn't saying anything.
Who's
I was doing some work on the computer, but I'll stop what I'm doing.
All right, somebody said they're working on a computer. Who is that? Just tell me so I can make sure I've got you muted. Just so we can take care of the background noise. I'm sorry. I'm trying to work my dashboard here, but the issue there is you have to ask yourself, why is that person willing to take over this deal subject to, Ray? Do you have any indication? Because it's not about your motivation. It's about their motivation. They've got to have a reason to take over your condo subject to. Do you have any idea why that would be?
All I know is he's a loan man. He 1764 in gas. He's a loan person. He gets loans for people, and he's affiliated with a realtor there. So I'm assuming they know something that I don't, although I've looked at the comps on my property on ICO, and they're all running around $115,000 or less for that property in that particular division.
Now, when you say less, are you saying less than what you paid for or less than what you owe on it?
Less than what I owe on it.
Okay, so the comps are approximately $100,000 less than what you actually owe on it right now. Is that correct?
No. I owe $116,000 on it.
Yeah.
And the comps are coming in around $100,000, $105,000, all of that area. And mine is a very small unit, 790 feet, two-bedroom, one. And it's all ground level, but it's not been updated other than I got a new stove and dishwasher in it and new carpet in it about 2 years ago.
Okay.
So it's in decent shape, But as I can see, the comps on ICO, they're not very high. And they're, you know, so he's offered to give me $3,000 cash above everything, and I'm going to try and bump that up to maybe $4,500, which will put something in my pocket for using, you know, on future information that I need to buy properties with.
Okay. This is what I would do. This is what I would suggest you do. Because you completely understand how a subject to deal works, okay? Again, the idea, everybody's on the line, is when you're doing a subject to deal, you're going to take over the existing financing on a property from someone who's motivated to sell. Now, granted, Ray's motivated to sell, but typically the other caveat is that the principal balance of the mortgage is less than the market value of the home. So there's an equity position. There's something to be gained from taking over, managing, and marketing that piece of property, as well as the fact that you don't have to put your own credit up. There's already financing on the thing. Okay, so you can build a portfolio without having to sign for a loan. I've done that many, many times. Ray, in this position, what I would say is this. If this person feels as though they want to market, manage the property, go ahead and go forward. The only caveat that I would do as you prepare your paperwork in particular is I'd have your contract specifically say that in the event they are not able to effectively market the property and or provide compensation for the mortgage, okay, that everything reverts back to you. You don't want to be in a position where you're completely tied on the property over and don't have the ability to get it back, okay, because basically you do want to take away some of the headache. I would actually set the mortgage so you can make sure that the payments are being paid and they're on a monthly basis and they're not getting behind or anything like that because you don't want their actions to impact your credit. For the same token, I'd also be in a position where you keep a reserve in case you have to make a payment or two if something goes wrong while you try to get the property back, okay? Because the whole idea here is if you're actually, you know, putting them on title and selling the property, it's, you know, you don't want to think about it anymore. I mean, you want to have it in your mind's eye, but you don't want to be worried about collecting the rents anymore, making the mortgage payments, sending them in, all this other kind of stuff. You want that to be done by the person that's buying the property. That's their obligation to manage and work this sucker. So it's got to be, you want it to be a win-win, but you don't want to be losing sleep about the thing either. Does that make sense?
Yes. My question to that remark is, would it be good then for me to have them sign a quitclaim deed in the event that they fail to make the mortgage, it immediately reverts back to me?
Oh, I would definitely do that, without a doubt. That's an excellent idea. You have it in your contract and have the quitclaim deed already ready to go. Makes all the sense in the world.
And would it be advantageous to send that through a mortgage company like an escrow or title company to have them make the payment monthly so that I'm aware or they are aware when he fails or comes short on his payment? And they
that just depends on your level of paranoia. It really does. It really depends on your level of paranoia. I would get, you know, if you want to have an escrow company or a property management company in place, you know, the two of you can negotiate that out. I think that the most important thing is that you're in a position where, again, if they're buying a property, you want to be to some degree, it's done. It's over. You're not worried about making payments and sending the notes in and having to collect and having to deal with the tenant and so on and so forth. Okay. You want to have some measure of relief in terms of the property's concern. Any other stopgap measures up to and including having that quick claim deed or certainly be in a position where the property reverts back to you, that's going to be one of the big points up front. But
okay.
double check the value, Ray, because we're talking about a number of things where, you know, I'll be very honest with you. You really what you may be garnering here is just a measure of convenience for the time being and not really have a deal, you know. All these extra measures really shouldn't be an issue. If you're going to be a subject to seller, it's because you're motivated. There's a benefit to the buyer because there's an equity position for them to take over the property. You've got to really go back and ask the question, why do they want a property that's got a principal balance mortgage that's higher than the market value. That's going to be the real ticket. If they can't answer that intelligently from a valuation perspective, just keep on managing that sucker yourself and communicate with the hospice company that the lady's working with and make sure they can you can start identifying another client. That's what I would do. Fair enough?
That's fair. The other
You got something else?
Yes. I wanted to know regarding the same situation, would it be advantageous for me to recommend some type of a length of time that I'm still on the deed?
No, I would just have the other quitclaim in place and have the sales contract written that the property reverts back to you in the event they don't make the payments.
Okay. All right. Well, I didn't know if there, I should set a time limit for them to actually take the payment over themselves, you know.
You mean a time frame for them to actually remove the mortgage from your name?
Correct.
You know, again, once you go back and ask the question about why they really want to move forward, that's going to clear some stuff up for you as well. And personally, I mean, I have clients where I've had the house for 4 years now, and all they've ever done is benefit from the good credit. You really shouldn't be worried about if and when they're going to remove the mortgage. As long as they're making good payments, it's a mortgage. It doesn't cost it keeps – you get more points on your credit bureau for a mortgage than you do for anything else. If the mortgage is going to continue to be on there and good payments made, I wouldn't sweat it. I wouldn't even worry about when they're going to sell or how soon, because if the market value starts coming back and you say they had to have it sold in 18 months, they may say, well, here, take it back. You know, and now you're back in a position of having to remarket it, refill it, whatever the case be yourself. Let them do their thing, just as long as they do it the right way.
Okay, I shouldn't have to take out a land trust or anything like that to hide, because the property presently is in my personal irrevocable trust as the Talbot Trust.
Now, once you've got the contract and sold it, you know, you basically have sold it. The only thing you have to do as far as going back into a land trust is if you bring it back in. After you've taken the title and moved it, that's not a big deal. And you don't have any capital gains because essentially you're selling it for a loss. So I wouldn't worry about that part.
So you
have to take it back into your portfolio.
Okay.
But I'm not an attorney. I just played one on television.
Okay. I'm going to email you some of the details on it and get back to you. You know, that way we can talk about that as well.
Okay, cool. Ray, thank you so very much. I appreciate it, man. Listen, we got another call coming up on the – what's our next training call coming up? It is the 9th, so be ready to join in with us, okay?
Yes.
All right, guys. Take care, Sharon. We'll talk to you soon. Hey, listen, thank you very much, Ray. I appreciate it. And we've got one we got South Carolina on the line. My grandmother was from South Carolina, and I spent a lot of time over there. 843-926. Who do we have on the line?
Reginald Williams.
Reginald Williams, how are you, sir?
Good. How about you?
I got no complaints whatsoever. Are you Charleston?
Yes, I am.
Charleston, there we go. We talked a little while ago, man. How are you holding up, okay?
Very good. I sent you an email in reference to a bulk tape, and I didn't hear back, so I was wondering, I might have had the wrong email address. So I want to give you my number again, then that way I can confirm the email address that I have.
Cool. What day did you send it? Where did you send it? What was the title on the email?
I have placed looking for tape. Looking for a tape for Ohio. I believe that was the title, or something similar to that.
Looking for tape. Everybody, Reginald is out of any Ohio tape available. Okay, Reginald Williams, I got it. It looks like it came through on the 26th. I got it now. I'll take a look at it. Everybody, Reggie is in the Charleston area. And actually, he's gotten into the bulk business. He's actually a broker for another individual. And we talked, Reggie, I think we talked right after the first year, maybe about the second week of January, something like that.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. So I'm looking. I've got one or two buyers for tapes. I'm actually looking for tapes in particular for the Atlanta market. Now, I love these calls, guys and ladies, because they're just a great opportunity for a lot of communication to go back and forth on different opportunities. And two, let me just say this again. This is the ICO free call in day. We're going to be doing these three times a month now, beginning this Monday. We do them every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern time. The dial-in number is, as you have it today, it's 712-432-3100. PIN is 345-146. So number is 712-432-3100. PIN is 345-146. We'll try to make sure that number stays evergreen, doesn't change anytime soon. And we just get into the questions that you have, things that are going on in your business, information you want to share like Reggie's doing today. As we're going through and getting some more information through Reggie, please, please, please don't hesitate to ask any question. The way you do that is you press five star. That kind of raises your hand on the dashboard, and I can see where you are. I'll call out your area code and number, and if you'll share your name, where you're from, and your question, we'll get hot and heavy into it. And again, it could be anything. It could be about valuation, anything about a deal structure. We all learned a little bit about loan mods today as subject twos, and now we're about to get into bulk tapes. Reggie, share your contact information, if you don't mind. I'm sure there's somebody online that's interested in bulk, if you don't mind.
Sure. Anybody can reach me at my email address is the spelling of my name without the vowels. That goes as RGNLDWLLMS@gmail.com. I'll repeat that one more time. It's RGNLDWLLMS@gmail.com.
Good stuff, good stuff. And so you're actually looking for tapes in different market areas, looking to identify buyers. Just give a little more detail, Reggie, if you don't mind.
Currently, I'm looking I got a few cash buyers who are actually looking for deals, and what I was trying to do is of course, to get tapes from all over the country, but what I was trying to do is to get a bulk tape in their state. Not sure if I could actually get a tape that's in their particular area, but then I think that is in their state is easy to, you know, they could easily travel from city to city within their state boundaries. And on this particular guy, this is the first time he and I are considering transacting business. And like I said, he is a national buyer, but I want to, like I said, get a tape in his particular state. And if he's comfortable with that, and he turns around and he buys from me, then he probably may even buy more that's in this state, or even buy more that's nationally from me.
Outstanding. And two, folks, remember, one thing about working with tapes is really not much different than if you're going to actually do a single individual family home deal. You've still got to take the time and look at the market area, pull up the zip code and for the neighborhood that the properties are in. If they're in multiple zip codes in around the area, you still have to do that work. Now, the fun part about doing with tapes is that, again, you're buying at a tremendous discount. You're able to mark that tape up. If you mark tape up 5%, you know, on $1 million tape, you just made an extra $50,000. So it's really pretty cool. I think I did the math wrong on that, too. 1%, 10%, I don't know. Anyway, the numbers are really cool. You don't have to worry about doing a rehab. You don't have to worry about doing bandit signs or anything like that. So it's worth your time and effort to actually get in, delve into the valuation, see what's going on with the school system, see what's going on with the zoning in different areas, okay? See what's going on with the different cities in terms of what type of ordinances they have in place around these homes. Sometimes you'll buy a tape. We were looking at tapes up in Cleveland, Ohio, just towards the end of last year. I got a tape with about 27 houses on it, and I picked out 10 houses on the list. I had a BP agent go and look at them, and it cost about $40 for each one of the BPOs, but we got the list back, and of the 10 houses we wanted to make offers on or buy bulk, and the houses were only $1,800 a piece, only $1,800, but six of the houses, the city had already torn down, and they were vacant lots. Now, the land is still worth $1,800, but that tells me something about what's going on with the city, what's going on in the neighborhood. It also tells me a little bit about what the potential is for remarketing that property, because there wasn't any infilling going in. Yeah, the house was being torn down by the city for whether they were run down, whether they were not dilapidated. I'm looking for another word. Condemned. Okay, but in that situation, the other markets that I've been in, you know, especially around Florida, up the East Coast, Georgia, over on the West Coast, a number of these markets, when you have something being torn down or being cleared, it's because there's some infill going on. There's new construction being replaced by the old construction. Well, there was no indication, based on the research I did, that there were investors there buying these lots and putting new houses on them. Now, I could, if I was going to invest in that tape, it would have been solely for the purpose of buy and hold. But then when I looked at the taxes that they wanted to on the lots that I would have been buying for $1,800, the taxes were equal to the purchase price as well. So when I look at what my holding cost is versus the length of time that I may have had to hold these for them to come back, I said, well, you know, it's a tape, great, but I think the money I invested just to analyze it was all the money I needed to spend, okay? So I hope that's a couple of tips for you for how you look at deals, whether you're doing single family or whether you're doing multifamily or you're doing multi-house on a tape. Always, always got to do some due diligence in a situation where you still want to know that you make your profit when you buy. Very, 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 very important. So good stuff there. Reggie, thank you very much for joining in, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Can I say one more thing?
Yeah, be my guest.
I do have a bulk package also in Columbus that I'm currently trying to sell. It's about 13 homes, and they're already renovated, and they already got a property manager on it that's cashing in about $8,900 a month cash flow income.
Uh-huh.
And if anybody that's interested, just email me at the email address that I previously gave.
Okay,
and,
cool. And that's fine, too, because even then, we're still talking about being a situation where if you guys want to touch bases, reach out to Reggie, you still got to do your due diligence. You still got to do your analysis. The value is what's really going to make it work for you. Reggie, thank you very much. I appreciate it, man. Now, listen, on these calls, again, this is all about your time. This is about what's going on in your business. This is your opportunity to say, hey, I've got some stuff going on in terms of the deals that I want to do, the deals that I'm thinking about doing, the deals that I might do, the deals that I am doing, okay? And literally, I just want to be a resource and an asset to you. We've got so many folks on the line. We've got area code 303. We've got 864-510-916. I don't even know where some of these places are. But the way it works today is you want to go ahead, press 5-star, and what that do is it will allow me to see your hand raised on the sideboard here on the side. Now, what I'll do is I'll unmute you, call out your area code and number. I may start putting this in where you have to put your name in, and that way I can call your name out as well, which, you know, that's not a bad way to go. So please, 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 this time is entirely for you. There is a bunch of tips and stuff I could share with you, different things I read, research. I'm tremendously excited about the new video blog I'll be putting out, which will be just nothing but tons of tips several days a week on everything I've ever done and what I will be doing in terms of actually live deals I'm working on, looking at the value, analyzing the market, identifying buyers, everything you need to do to make sure that you make your profit when you buy, just like MJ and my PJs. It is so much fun. This is just, it is a wonderful time and has been. It's just consistently been a really, really good opportunity to be communicating, talking with folks, analyzing deals. I've used Ariel Goldmeyer this morning. I was at my desk with my bird dog, wonderful young lady, Stephanie PA, 8 o'clock this morning. And we went through and we found two more deals that we decided we were going to make offers on. So she's calling, reaching out and touching bases. Then we looked at the numbers. We analyzed the market areas. We had made identification of what was going to be our maximum offer based on the actual comparable sales in the market area. We may get a deal. We may not get a deal. But we know what our numbers are in order to make it work. And by example, we looked at one property in the Atlanta market. I'll just tell you the address. It was 515 Rankin Street, R-A-N-K-I-N, 515 Rankin Street. Pardon me just a second. I got a cough. Hold on. Thank you very much. And we looked at it. It was funky because the data in three different resources said either the house was a 2-1, a 3-1, or a 3-3. So we really had to delve into the data to see where we stood. The square footage was pretty much consistent in all of them. But then we had to look and see, okay, what schools are the kids are feeding into? What are the taxes on the property? What is the overall condition of the property as best we can tell? And that led us to look at what comparable sales actually matched up with the subject property. Because the sales, while they were a little scattered because there were a couple of REOs, there were some there were foreclosure sales, there were REO sales from the bank to an individual or an investor, there were arm's length transactions, and then there were actually properties of infill or new sales, because this house was actually built, I think it was 1925 or something like that. So there were some comps that were 2001, 1989 as far as the construction. Of course, you can't match those up with this particular property. I looked at the neighborhood, what street it was on. The location was one of the main things we looked at before we even got into the property. If it's not in the right location, I'm not even going to be in a situation where I'm looking to see if I want to make an offer on it or not. So those are the different things that we went into it. We have specific criteria, and we looked at, okay, what did we want to make as an offer on the property? I think it's listed at 145. Our research showed that the house had already been listed at close to 160 and been marked down two times and still hadn't sold, okay? So that's the type of research that you want to do when you're trying to find a deal that's going to be readily marketable, ready to go. So thank you for letting me do that little diatribe sharing about how I'm actively looking at deals all the time. So that being the case, again, this is the free call of the day. Always want to just have an opportunity to take your questions, get into what's going on in your business, help you. So if you would, we don't have any hands raised right now, and that, I guess we're getting out good information. But if you have a question, 5-star to raise your hand. I'll go like another 6 or 7 minutes here because I don't want to waste your time. I want to make sure that we're getting the information when you need it, how you need it. But if we're done, we're done. I have no need or desire to be some windbag, just kind of using up airtime. My ego is not that big, okay? It really, really isn't. I just want to be a genuine guy that's helping you do things in your business. I'm really excited about the content coming up on this video blog. Really excited about the ICO teleclasses we'll be doing every Thursday. But this is this time we'll be doing several times a month now, about the first 3 Mondays of the month, where we'll be live. You can ask anything that you want to ask going on in your business, and everybody gets to partake. Everybody gets to listen and learn from the experience. So 5-star to raise your hand if you've got anything going on, and I'll be glad to get your question. I'll see your hand raised, and I can basically unmute you and take your question. Whoa. Now I went from none to 4. Okay, we're going to do this in order. Let me go with area code 630-305. Area code 630-305. Who's on the line? Where are you calling from?
This is Cecil. I'm calling from Illinois, Chicago.
Hey, what's going on, man? How are you today?
Good, all's well. How do I get a list of REO agents for this area, please?
You want to get a, okay.
It's suburbs of Chicago area.
Okay. All right, my first response is you want to use REO Gold Miner. That's what I would say. REO Gold Miner is a great service. You can get a 14-day free trial on there. And basically what it will do is it's a deal analyzed system. It will take you out, show you all the deals listed in your market area. It would also show you the location of property, stuff like that. But then it gives you all the details about who the agent is that's listing the property. And one of the things that I do when I'm using REO Gold Miner, if I see a couple of agents listed more than once, then I will sort by that column and get every deal that one agent has listed and then just communicate with them about every single one and then take my relationship with them offline from REO Gold Miner Well, I'll communicate directly with that BPO agent or the two or three that I see are the most active in the market area. So go ahead, go to ariogoldminer.com, sign up for the 14-day free trial, and that is a great way. Because the other thing about it is that it will give you the deal, but it'll also give you an estimate using Zillow just to give you a ballpark idea. Is it 5 cents, 10 cents, 25, 30 cents on the dollar? You can actually set your own parameters to find the deals that are in your market. A great tool, 14-day free trial. Just give it a whirl. Does that help?
Yes, that helps. Thanks very much.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Share your name again.
Cecil.
Diesel?
Cecil.
Cecil. Thanks a lot, man. Thanks for being on the
call.
All right, let's go right on down the line. Again, how about area code 620664? Who's on the line? Where are you from?
Hello, my name is Preston Clark. I'm from Hutchinson, Kansas.
Hey, what's going
on,
Preston? How are you today?
Great, and yourself?
Absolutely positively wonderful. How can I serve you?
Well, I'm not a new investor, but I am new to ICO, and I do have a couple of questions about that. One, Kansas is a non-disclosure state, and it's very difficult to find sell comparables here because that information is not required to be disclosed. And so I wondered if on the ICO system, if Kansas property values would be listed.
You are absolutely right, and this happens in both Texas and Missouri and parts of Indianapolis. And what I do, Cecil, is this. Pardon me, not Cecil, you're
Preston.
Preston, there we go.
Yeah.
I apologize.
Absolutely.
What we do is we actually use the mortgage history that is provided. And what we do is we take the mortgage history and actually teach. If you go on a support desk, I teach in there how to value properties in non-disclosure states. Once you're in your account, you click on property value. Just below that is consultation.
Okay.
Consultation. On the support desk, you go to downloads. Under downloads, there's a teaching on there how to evaluate property in non-disclosure states. But I'll talk about it right now. This is my favorite word in the whole English language. Extrapolate.
Okay.
Extrapolate. And so what I do is I teach you how to look at the couple things. Look at, of course, the basic characteristics. Where's the house? Square footage, room counts, bathroom counts, square footage, lot size, and find those properties that are, of course, most similar to your subject property. Then what you do is look at the mortgage principal balance on each of those properties along with the lender that has lent. Now, there was a big difference in terms of lenders, let's say 18 months ago. You could see the Argent mortgages, the option ones. You could see Long Beach. You could see all these different lenders that we already knew were non-conforming lenders in terms of being able to do maybe 100% financing on a property, so on and so forth. Okay, so you could tell if, in fact, the property was mortgaged to its full market value or if maybe the client had an opportunity to put a down payment on it. The other thing that we do now is we're able to do an analysis and look and see if it's an FHA mortgage on a property. Okay, and what that does, it tells, again, did a person put down just 3% and they have like a 97% mortgage? And you can see by analyzing the principal balance of the mortgage based on the market area and where the house is, using that information from Investor Comps Online, you can then make a determination as to what the actual purchase price or comparable sales were as far as purchase price in that market area. Now, there's a couple other tricks you can use, and city-data.com is a great resource to actually see a little bit more about the demographics of a market area. That's city-data.com.
Yes, that's a great site.
It's a great site. I use it, okay? I use it all the time because one of the things I check is I always want to look at market areas just to see what some of the ordinances are, but I'm also always checking for registered sex offenders. I'm putting it out there. That's what I do. I want to know just what are these components, what are these things going on in the market areas that I'm going to. Unfortunately, it's shocking the information that you get back when you check that one reference, but I just think that's one that is really, really important to me, especially if I'm going into market areas and I'm looking for retail buyers that maybe, you know, FHA folks who don't necessarily have all the money to put down on a property. And the demographic of the market, it might be a little bit different. I want to go somewhere where I know I'm going to have a reasonably good advantage of identifying a property in a nice. Does that help you, my concepts on extrapolation?
That is a concept I never thought about, and it's a great way. I'll look into that. My second question is, if I'm buying properties in states that are very volatile, like Florida, where the values have dropped a lot, is your data constantly up to date so that I'm not looking at 3 or 6 month old data and valuing a property that has since dropped maybe 10 or 20,000 since then?
I'd be very, very, very honest with you, Preston. I am at the disposal of every county that's out there. We have abstractors across the country. Fortunately, what I feel we're in all the major markets with our data partner Fidelity, and literally, you can feel pretty comfortable that most any major market that you go to, that you're going to get some really good up-to-date information. I was looking at comps yesterday that were reported from January. So it's always going to be different markets that are going to do different things.
He just did catch those in the mail.
Let me mute one of these lines here.
Yeah.
Hold on. All right. I got one. I think that's our guy. Okay, we're in good shape. So let me go back. you'll be surprised. There's markets out there that I've already seen data from January, and this is just February 1st. Okay.
Sure.
Most information is going to be for December, November, October, stuff like that. When you're talking about markets in Florida, typically they're pretty good. Stronger markets like Tampa, Hillsborough County, Pinellas County, Orlando, that area is really, really good, okay, in terms of providing update information. Miami-Dade County, very good. I've seen comps in there from December already. January should be coming online fairly quickly. But pick the market that you actually want to do business in based on the what your access is to deals, okay? If you've got good access to deals and you can see where you could actually make a really good profit on that, hone in, look at that one market area. One place that's actually I believe is going to be really good, and I know some folks are doing some stuff in there, is Fort Myers. Fort Myers has taken a huge hit in terms of the volume of REOs and foreclosures that took place there, and their market values have plummeted. And there's definitely going to be an opportunity because it's snowbird country, winter country. People are going to be going there, just a lot of folks that actually were your employees with job loss, stuff like that, that basically had to give up their properties. They've got tremendous inventory there. And I think it's going to be a market for those that want to do some stuff in Florida or live in that area are going to have a lot of success.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Good enough?
That is very good information.
Okay, cool. What else you got?
So I am a little bit familiar with REO Gold Miner.
Yes.
So what you're saying is that's a subscription site where you can go there and you can find properties and then go to the ICO site and determine its proper value.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, look at – this is what I do when I'm an REO Gold Miner. And let me make sure I'm candid. I'm co-owner with REO Gold Miner. That's why I recommend it first.
Oh, okay, sure. All
right. Okay, I don't want there to be any discrepancy there. My partner and I, Sam Bell, we actually created over a year ago. And what we've done – the thing that works that's really cool is it gives you – you set the parameter. Let's say you want to find all the deals that are 30 cents on the dollar. And it'll give you back a whole list of those qualified deals. Then, if there's deals over 30 cents on the dollar, it'll give you all those deals as well. It'll give you a list of them all the way out for every deal that has a value, all the way up to 100% of the value. It'll give you those deals. So I look for the qualified deals first because now, as compared to just going to a bank site and saying, let me look at this house and then go pull up the comps, and I don't have any idea of what the value is. I mean, I can do it because, I mean, I've been valuing property for a long time. I understand markets. I have the benefit of talking to Preston in Kansas, so I know what's going on there. Not everybody has that. So REO Gold Miner lets you go to Orange County, California, drop in that you want deals from $125,000 to $250,000, and you want them at 30 cents on the dollar, and it gives you back a list of them with the contact information, a picture of the house, the map of it, So instead of you going onesie twosies, now you've got a list of 15, 25, 150 properties that match your criteria in a matter of seconds. Okay.
Okay.
That's the beauty of what REO Gold Miner does, and there's nothing else out there like it. There's lots of services out there that will give you REOs. There's some services out there to give you comps for REOs, but there's nothing out there that will actually qualify them for you, so you can narrow your search in a matter of seconds and get moving forward, so you're not wasting your time researching the deals, that type of thing. So that's what REOG does, and it's daggone good at it too.
So if your median price home is say $150,000, and you want to target say whatever plus or minus 20% of that, would you put in 150 or would you put in 45, which is 30% of 150?
That's well. You basically, let me make sure I'm asking your question. So you're asking me if you know the median value is already 150.
Yeah.
Okay. So then what you're going to do is, if you're looking at deals that are 40 cents of that, then I would just go ahead and take 150, okay,
uh-huh,
and multiply that by 40%. My calculator's not working. How much is that?
That'd be 60,000.
That'd be 60,000. So then what I would do is I would just put an REO Gold Miner. I put a low of 40. I put in a high of 100 and then set the percentage at 40, okay?
Okay.
And it'll bring you back every deal that is 40 cents on a dollar based on those parameters. And then anything that's over over those parameters as well. So so it'll bring you back everything from that's already listed at $55,000 that essentially has the market value back up around 147, 148. Fair enough?
Got it. Very
and
good.
You don't have
very
to go dig at them one at a time.
Okay.
Is that sexy?
Yes, sir. That's it.
Okay, good stuff. Good stuff.
Thanks. Thank
Preston,
you very much.
Thank you very much, man. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thanks.
All right. So, everybody, let me see if I've got somebody else here on the dashboard. That does it. And we're right at an hour.
There. Just so I alert them.
Outstanding. Absolutely outstanding. So, everybody.
They had soccer trials this afternoon. I forgot that they had it, so they didn't bring us back.
Thank you so very much for the honor of having the opportunity to come on today. Without a doubt, I look forward to jumping back in and doing this again next week so that we can get to your questions. I know that the numbers are going to be growing and growing. And without a doubt, I'll have more details on the video blog as well. Look, I've done deals, and I've been an appraiser for years. I've looked at almost 10,000 appraisals, and it's been everything from golf course lots to lake lots to trust sales to – you know, one-bedroom, one-bath shacks in Griffin, Georgia. So I've traveled to South Carolina. I've traveled to international destinations. And everywhere I go, I love getting into the concept of valuation. What's a property worth? What are the things that impact the value of that property, not just from construction, but also in terms of location and market? And all I ever want to do is have the opportunity to share that with you so that you can go out and make sure that you make your profit when you buy. Other than that, it's a treat. God bless you all. I look forward to talking to you again real soon. Have a great afternoon, everybody. Bye-bye now.